We're going to be in 1 John chapter 2 a little while over the course of maybe the next few services if the Lord leads us that way. 1 John chapter number 2. I know last Sunday morning we read the entirety of the chapter. We'll not do that this morning, but I would encourage you to read, actually not just read chapter 2. You ought to read all five chapters. You could probably do that very easily in one setting. And there's very few books of the Bible that would help you more as a Christian than the book of 1 John, because it deals with a lot of things. If people's doubting and questioning about whether they're saved, I always direct them to 1 John. Read 1 John, because that's one of the described reasons for the book. Chapter 5, verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe, that you may know that you have eternal life." Amen. 1 John chapter number 2, I really don't know where to start and where to stop, but I'll just read the text. Verse 18 is our text verse. The Bible said, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know something because of the Antichrist with an S on it, plural. We know. What do we know? We know because of that, seeing that, aware of that, we're aware of the fact that we're in the last times. We're in the last times. And I want you to turn, hold your place right there, turn to 1 Peter 5. Or excuse me, it's 1 Peter chapter 1. Just turn over to your left a couple of two or three books or so and get to 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse number 5. Talking to believers who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. Listen now. In the last time. It's no doubt what the last time refers to. Look over in the same chapter in verse number 20. Speaking about Christ and His redeeming blood in our behalf. Verse 20, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last times for you." Now, if Peter, when he wrote these words, was writing those words as the last time in his day, then how much more, how farther along are we into the time period of the last time? Amen. Spiritually, I am going to live forever because I've been regenerated. I've been quickened, made alive. I've been saved by God's grace. I will live forever. I'll live as long as God lives, because the life He gave me when He saved me was His very own life. That's why it's called eternal life. God never gives anybody spiritually temporal life. He gives everybody eternal life, or everlasting life. But he identifies the fact that we're in the last time. Now, whether that would mean we're in the last year, or we're in the last month, or we're in the last week, or we're in the last day, we're in the last hour, or in the last minute, or the last few seconds, I don't know. I paused right there on purpose to just show you that right in the midst of a sentence, my voice could have went silent. I could have been gone. Our church could have been gone. When I say our church, I'm talking about those that are saved. Now, if you've never been saved, I got terrible news. You're going to be left here. You're going to be left here and hopelessly lost forever, because you've said on these pews, "I know for a fact You've heard enough gospel to hold you accountable for your salvation. Amen. But I want us to look at this as we've been in verse 18, where it talks about little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, he said, you've heard that. But then now he makes the statement that this is not something you've heard about. Here you've heard it, and now you're seeing it fulfilled. Because he goes on to say, even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. I wonder how stirred we are this morning by the statement, the last time. I wonder how stirred we are thinking that we are the last day generation, that we are the last day church, that we are the church that is on the scene prior to the tribulation period when we exit. We exit when the man of sin steps on the scene, the Antichrist steps on the scene, Jesus Christ steps in the air and calls us out. Amen. Calls us out. And that is another lesson for another time, but maybe we'll deal with that in the near future on why the Bible teaches a pre-tribulation rapture. And I don't want to go off of there just without saying that the reason that the church has got to go out before the tribulation period is that the tribulation period, there's a difference between the tribulation period and tribulations. We can have tribulations but not be in the tribulation period. The tribulation period is called the time of Jacob's trouble. It is a time that God focuses attention back upon Israel. You'd have to throw a lot of your Bible away if you think God was through with Israel. God is not through. We're in a parentheses period. Amen. Through their fall, they rejected Christ and they fail. And the Bible said in Romans, I believe it's Romans 11, that through their fall, salvation come to the Gentiles. And so we're in that parentheses period. Thank God of the Gentile bride being called in and brought in, grafted in, hallelujah. And that people that were not a people are now a people of God. Amen. Those rejects, I'm looking at some, you're looking at one. Amen. Rejects had no part in any of the promises, had no part in any of the covenants, had no part in any of the services of the Old Testament. I want to thank God, and we ought to take tag team and run around the field out there, that we've been included, that we've been, listen, given an opportunity of the amazing grace of God, even though we are Gentiles, that we have now the opportunity to be saved. Because Jesus died for both, Jew and Gentile, bond and free, pretty and ugly. Amen. It don't matter. He died to pay the sin debt. Well, I couldn't help it. I had to squeeze a little bit out of that. God's not through with the Jews. God's not through with Israel. And that's when he's going to focus his attention. That's not all of his attention, but that's going to be the apple of his eye in the tribulation period. But I believe we are the church. That we are the generation. That we are the last day Christians. I feel like almost like a John the Baptist in some way. I'm in a wilderness. And I'm crying out, repent. Isn't that amazing? That John the Baptist was preaching repentance before Christ's first coming. When he came the first time, you would really think that preachers today would be getting messages from God to deal with sin and call the church back to repentance. We can whine around and we can complain about the country being wicked and vile and ungodly. I want to tell you, the country is basically nothing more than a reflection of the deteriorated spiritual life of the church of this hour. Amen. No telling what God would do if God's men would get their messages from God's Word, from God's Spirit. And you know good and well that in the last times prior to the coming of the Lord, that God was going to send messages on top of messages, on top of messages to call the people of God back to repent. You study it out. I don't have time to deal with it, but you can study out a lot of those revivals, the Great Awakening, the Hebrides Islands off the coast of Scotland. You study them. Listen to them messages they preached. They preached the wrath of God. They preached the judgment of God. They preached hard against sin. But that, you don't hear that now. You can turn on the religious television or religious radio and you can listen to one right after another, one right after another, and you'll very seldom ever hear one of them, amen, drop the plow in the right spirit and deal with sin. It's not popular. It's not wanted. My flesh don't want it and yours don't want it. But if we're going to see God use RBT, last night I pulled up just the RBT Facebook page. And there was a notice of some more people that had clicked like, that they liked our page. And what I was looking at, it said was new likes. And I literally took my finger on my iPad and just scrolled page after page after page of people that knows that Rogersville Baptist Temple is on the map. Rogersville Baptist Temple is different. Rogersville Baptist Temple, amen, amen. You can take that lightly if you want to. I take it seriously of people that sits on these pews to hear the Word of God. I spend hours, amen, in a week, hours upon hours studying, getting ready to give you something from God's Word. On the other side of that camera, I'm telling you, there's no telling who is in the unseen audience. I take that serious. I want to have a word from God. I want to have the touch of God. I want to see God move in these days. We are in the last times. And there's Antichrist. And I'm going to focus our attention on that word this morning, or largely this morning. Antichrist. There is that. Peter said it's even now. He did say that, didn't he? Or not Peter, but John said even now. Even now, he said, you heard about it. That is, you heard preachers preaching about it. You heard prophets prophesying about it in that hour, because the Bible wasn't complete. There are no prophets today. Let me just help you with something right there. I don't care how they foretell events and circumstances and presidential election. You better not put no stock in it. There are no prophets in our day. But they hit it nail on the head. You think that the Antichrist, who is going to be a worldwide miracle worker. Those in Matthew chapter number 7, those people in Matthew chapter number 7, guess what they said? Have we not prophesied in thy name? Wow. Have we not cast out devils? Wow. Have we not done many mighty works, which means miracles? Wow! And then Jesus said to that same crowd that just gave that pedigree of religious success, I never knew you. You can read it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll deal with it not today, but at another time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and also you can go to Revelation 13, and you'll find that the Antichrist is going to have the power to do signs and wonders and miracles. What's the purpose of that? Why would an Antichrist, why would the spirit of Antichrist, why would he want to do that? To deceive. Amen. He'll mix in enough truth in with his error so that God's people will swallow it. Amen. But don't you ever forget the devil's got power. The devil's got his preachers. The devil's got his church. The devil's got his Bible. And, amen. The devil's got his people. He's got his purpose. He's got his mission. He's got a mission. He's got a goal. And sad to say, I'm gonna just skip around. I'm gonna jump on something right here. Lord showed me this week as I was thinking about the in 1 John 4, it talks about the I want to get the right reference. Yeah, chapter 4, verse number 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. Even now, there he says it again, even now, already is it in the world. The Lord showed me that, yes, there's a day coming. I want everybody to listen. There's a day coming when there's going to be the man of sin that's going to step on the scene. There's going to become a day that the Antichrist is going to step on the scene. For he's already, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. More than likely, he's already here, but he can't be revealed because the Spirit of God is hindering him. Amen. But when he who now lets, which means hinders, is taken out of the way, then the man of sin is going to be revealed, and that wicked one is going to be revealed. Are y'all listening? Yes, there is a time coming. The Antichrist is going to step on the scene, and he's going to be recognized on a global scale. But I probably won't be here to see that, and you won't be here to see that, far as us that are saved. But Brother Henry, the spirit of Antichrist is probably more dangerous in our church age right now than the Antichrist will be when he does step on the scene. And here's why. Listen, how many knows that John in 1 John is writing to believers? He's not writing to unbelievers. He's not writing to lost people. He's writing to saved people about Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist. In chapter, what's the next verse say? Where he talked about twice there's Antichrist. Chapter number 2, or chapter 2, verse 18. He just got through talking about this. Little children, it is the last time, as you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They, verse 19, they just got through talking about those people that are being influenced, those people that are being governed and guided and empowered and directed by the spirit of Antichrist. He said, they went out from us. From us? From us? Sounds like an assembly. Sound like John is saying the spirit of Antichrist and these many Antichrists can infiltrate the church. See, the Antichrist is going to be a person. He's not going to be omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at once. He's going to be one person in one place at one time. And he's going to govern from there. He's going to be destructive from there. But the spirit of Antichrist could be in this church this morning. See how dangerous that is? Why? Listen, I want to ask you something. Why would John be telling God's people about the spirit of Antichrist and about the many Antichrists, and then he says, and they went out from us? That meant they were of us. They were sitting among us. They were numbered with us. But he said, they went out from us because they were not of us. Had they been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out to make manifest they were not of us. Are you listening? I know God's people cannot be possessed because we're already possessed. Amen. God's people have the Holy Spirit within us, hallelujah, and there's no such thing as a save. I'm talking about saved, born again, blood washed, child of God. Listen, having any demonic spirits that would be in him. God's people cannot be possessed, but we can be oppressed. We can have that out. External pressure, external, amen, loads and burdens and battles, amen, that would come against us. And the only way I can stand up to that is to make sure that my relationship to the Spirit of Christ on the inside is where it what it needs to be. Because that's where my energy and strength and power, amen, my resistance and my stand and my boldness comes from. Amen. I think we ought to be cautious of the spirit of Antichrist. The word Antichrist, let me just deal with it real quickly. Let me give you this. 2 John 1:7, you don't have to turn there. It'll take you a while to find that one, I may imagine. 2 John, he writes about it one more time. Three times in 1 John and here again in 2 John, second epistle. Look at verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. See, we're not careful. We think about Antichrist. We're looking at, oh yeah, Revelations 11, 13. Daniel talked about it. No, the spirit of Antichrist. Peter said even back in his day when he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to pen this down, even now. Said it twice, even now. Even now. The word Antichrist simply means an opponent. An opponent to the Messiah, or an opponent of the Messiah. An opponent. Does that need defining? Do we not know what an opponent is? That's an enemy. That's someone that's fighting everything that we're for. An opponent is one that is, and he's an opponent of the Messiah, that definition was. If he's an opponent of the Messiah, he's an anti-Christ, then that means everything that Christ is for, the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist is against. Brother Ivan, I won't see the man of sin. I probably won't see him, because that's going to happen simultaneous. The man of sin will be revealed when the Christ takes us out. Oh, that's going to transpire. I'm not going through 1 second of the time of Jacob's trouble. I'm not going through 1 second of the tribulation period. Amen. It's an opponent. It comes from two words. Of course, you can see that in the very word Antichrist. You got anti or anti, which means opposite, denoting contrast. In the room of, a substitute for. I know that we would never bow down to a man called the Antichrist, but I wonder how many of God's people are submissive to and yield to things and habits and thought lives and attitudes that are anti-Christ. All right, listen. I'm preaching RBT. Listen, RBT will never be dead spiritually because of Antichrist. Because the Antichrist is not what grieves the spirit, quenches spirit. But I'll tell you what it is. When the spirit of Antichrist starts working in our lives and working in your life and bringing about carnality and flesh and worldliness, then the spirit of Antichrist can start putting pieces and parts into your life even as a believer, to where you can listen to Antichrist music. You can listen to and talk about, have a language that is anti-Christ. You can use words in your conversation that would be anti, opposite, contrast Christ. What is in your life that's contrasting Christ? Not complimenting Christ, but contrasting Christ. What is it that's in my life that is contrast? Listen, if I yield to my flesh, there have been some statements about that this morning. If I yield to my flesh this morning, I promise you the fruit of that is going to be anti-Christ. Amen. So anti means opposite or denotes contrast or in the room of or in the stead of. And of course, the second word is Christ, which means the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the anointed. I thought about this morning, getting ready. Jesus Christ, his name identifies, Brother Rob, the anointed one. Son, I'm feeling it right there. The anointing. So if Antichrist, something to do that could be classified or described as anti-contrasting, opposite of, an opponent to the anointed one, then that defines and describes to us why we do not have the anointing of God, is because we've got so much anti-Christ things in our life. And it serves as an opponent to the anointing. Well, God help us. If you was going to shout, you should have shouted earlier. Amen. Let me give you the first mention of the word Antichrist. It's not the word Antichrist, but it's the word that is translated a different way. It's even in that definition I gave you, but I read over it and you probably just thought, oh, that don't fit. In the room of. Remember me saying that in the definition? I looked it up. Here's the first mention. It's found in Matthew chapter number 2 in verse number 22, and it's translated there as in the room of. And you know what's going on in that passage? Herod, who was the king. Listen to me now. Herod, who was the king, he died, and his son, I think his name is Archelaus or something like that, the Bible said he reigned in the room of his father. So if you look at that in that setting, we get a good idea of what Antichrist is. And we know Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know that He deserves to be our King now. Not just in the millennial kingdom, but in our life now. He deserves to rule and to reign upon the throne of our heart now. Is that not right? He deserves it. That's His design. Amen. We know He's going to... Amen. We know... Listen... So, but if you take that setting, you have the removal of one king and the replacement of another king. That's what Antichrist is when Jesus has been replaced, when Jesus is moved aside, amen, and his opponent or another king, if you will, steps up. And I want to tell you, your flesh wants to be your king. Your flesh has never hated itself. Even Ephesians 5 said, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but he nourisheth and cherisheth it. Oh, yes. Are we listening? I'm telling you, though we cannot be possessed with an Antichrist spirit, there can be aspects of that Antichrist definition that can be upon us and get on upon our life. How many has ever had an attitude that was not Christ-like? Oh, surely not. Not in this crowd. Oh. So if it's not Christ-like, then that means it must be anti. Anti what? Finish it. Antichrist. Say things, say words, slang words, whatever. Ask yourself, would Jesus say that? Would Jesus talk like that? If not, and you're, what you're saying, if not, if you're agreeing, if it's an if not, then you're saying, you know what, Jesus wouldn't. So if Jesus wouldn't, then it must be of Antichrist. I'm telling you, God's people, I believe we are on the level spiritually we are, and most churches, listen, I've talked to some even this week, some pastors this week, and I'm telling you, it doesn't look good. A lot of churches, it doesn't look good. I'm telling you, God's blessing us. God is helping us. God is trying to stabilize us. God has given me messages to preach. I believe it's going to stir us through the storm and steer us through the storm. Amen. I've been trying to preach from last Sunday now and continuing on living the Christ life in Antichrist times. Don't you ever forget, just because there's an Antichrist, an Antichrist with an S, and the spirit of Antichrist, just because you know that's true and the Bible reveals that to be so, don't ever forget that that Antichrist spirit would never, should never take the place of the Christ. Why would I want to spend time or yield to things? It can be things. It can be a number of things. You know what the domain of the Antichrist is? How many knows what the domain of the Antichrist is, Miss Jim? It's the world. It's the world. He's called the prince and power of the air. The Antichrist is called, listen, he is called the God, little G-O-D, of this world. He's called the God of this world. 1 John chapter 5, it said, the whole world lieth in wickedness. And you look that word lieth up and wickedness up, and you'll find out that it has the idea of stretching out into the lap of the wicked one. I don't understand why that anybody that names the name of Christ would be interested in being worldly. When that is the domain of the wicked one. The domain. But yet, Preacher Rackley can preach on separation from the world, and we're going to deal with that when we get on down in these verses at another time. Because it's in our Bible. People act like separation from the world is not in our Bible. But it's in our Bible. And guess whose idea it was? Oh, imagine that. It's God's idea. Wow. Amen. You can be worldly and be a church member. You can be worldly and be saved. Amen. God help us. I know I'm way out on left field on this one. Has anybody ever been down and out and nobody could even tell by listening to you or looking at you that you's probably even saved because you're so down? Anybody been there? Yeah, there's two honest people in here. Is that of Christ? Is that of His Spirit? You know, the Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Christ. Just like the Antichrist has the spirit of Antichrist. That is, that spirit, the whole business of the spirit of Antichrist is to generate in your life and in mine and in this world things that the Antichrist is for and things that the Christ is against. So when we get all down and defeated, tripping over our bottom lip, poochy lip, critical spirit, can't even hardly enjoy a song for wondering about how the one singing is living. Can't even hardly enjoy the preaching because our mind's on 14 other things. Do you think that's Christ? Hey, if Christ was in here this morning, of course I'd let Him preach. He'd be preaching. But maybe if He didn't want to preach, I guarantee you, everything we did in this service would be honoring to Christ. We would guard against any thought life, any attitudes of the heart, any criticism, judgmental spirit, anything like that. Amen. We'd be against all of that. We'd be against all that. If he was here and we had him sitting up on the platform. But if I'm preaching his word, it's the same as if he is here. Oh my. Do you think the spirit of Antichrist is going to have daily devotion? Brother Ross, we're going somewhere now. Oh, it's getting deep. Snakes are starting to crawl now. Brother, you hit devotions this morning. Do you think that spirit of Antichrist is going to tell you to read your Bible and pray and hate sin and love righteousness? And no. When there's an unread Bible, that's the footprints, fingerprints of the influence of the spirit of Antichrist. God help us. Sit in a service and don't worship. Have our own private time, Lord, don't worship. I'm talking about worship. I believe that's the purpose of devotion, is to get you to God. It's not just mechanical. Okay, well, let's see here. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. All right. And lay the Bible aside, pick up your Facebook, phone, whatever, and you go on with your digital life. No, devotion is to get us to the Christ. When we come to church, the purpose of the song service is to get us to him. Amen. To prepare our hearts for the preaching of the Word of God, to stir our hearts while we're here so that it will influence our life out there. Well, amen. So what king is ruling in the place of the Lord Jesus in your life? What king? Listen, and self will gladly take the... I tell you what, you know why God said that flesh and blood can't enter in? Brother Dave, listen. If flesh could go to heaven, I tell you how sorry and depraved and wicked our flesh is, Brother Preston. Our flesh would go up on the throne and remove the crown from the Son of God and put it on our own head. That's why we're saved by grace. Why? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us plainly that if it wasn't by grace, we would boast. Oh, we'd be patting on the back, but it would be us patting our own back. But when we get to heaven and it continues to be a reality that we're here by the amazing, unmerited favor of God, I'm telling you, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he hath saved us. Amen. And we know that we're there not because of deeds done. We're not there because of do's and don'ts. We're there because Jesus did. We're there because Jesus did, and I put my faith in what he did. I accepted what he did for my sin. Well, I'm getting hung up right there, but that's all right. That's all right. The spirit of Antichrist. I probably shouldn't have dealt with that. No, I'm kidding. I thought, well, I'm going to deal with that again when we get down to dealing with the world here in another message or two later on. But maybe the Lord wants us to hit it more than once. Let me close with this. I didn't get near where I wanted to get. I wanted to at least cover 2 points. And one of them was covered last Sunday. But I never did get there. And I felt like just and after getting to church this morning, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to just hone in on Antichrist. What good is it to preach out of 1 John 2:18 in the last times and Antichrist are here and all that? What good is that if we don't know what Antichrist is? We think it's some beast, or we think it's something that's someone or whatever that's going to arise in the tribulation period. How's that going to affect my life? That's not going to affect my life. But when Peter said, even now are there many antichrists, that lets us know that they were here before I got here, and they're here now. And I'm telling you, it's sad that we have allowed that spirit, that opposing spirit of Christ, that contrasting spirit of Christ. And by the way, it is a spirit. And I'm going to tell you why that's dangerous. You can't see a spirit. Let me give you this right here real quick. Let me find my place here. Turn to Mark 9. Give you there a moment just to find it. Mark 9. Mark 9. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, encountered people that were, we would call, demon-possessed. They didn't just have a demon, but the demon had them, or demons had them. But the Bible calls them spirit, a deaf, in the text I'm going to read, a deaf and dumb spirit. Look, start with me, if you will, and follow along in chapter 9 of Mark's gospel, verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. It affected his speech. Dumb there means he had problems talking. So I wonder, I wonder what kind of spirit it is that affects our talk or takes away our spiritual talk. Wow. Verse 18, and wheresoever he, that is the Spirit, taketh him. Looks like the Spirit's in charge. He teareth him. You ought to look those words up. He teareth him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Now notice verse 20. And they brought him, that is the boy with the deaf and dumb spirit, they brought him unto him, Christ. And when he saw him straightway, watch this, this is what a spirit of Antichrist, a spirit that's against Christ, a spirit that is a contrast to Christ, responds. And when they brought him unto the Christ, if I could put that in there, and when he saw him, that is when he saw him, the straightway, oh, listen, the Spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? Watch this now. In light of what we're preaching, he said, of a child. Hey, if I could put it in line of what we're preaching about, and I'm emphasizing that spirit there to show us what it did and what it was doing to that boy that Christ would have never done. Christ would have never thrown him on the ground. Christ would have never thrown him in the fire. Christ would have never thrown him in the water. Christ would have never told him to kill yourself and die. He will never do that. I'm telling you, no, 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 no. But the spirit that is from the Antichrist world will certainly do that. But he said, when did it start? Listen, parents. When did it start, Brother Aaron? Of a child. The Antichrist spirits, that spirit that we're talking about this morning, Listen, it's not looking for 40-year-olds. It doesn't wait till he's got your birth certificate in his file cabinet. And he says, well, no, they're not old enough. They're just adolescent years. I'm going to leave them alone. No, when your child is in diapers, I'm going to tell you when your child is in the high chair, the devil's already starting to work, already trying to sow seeds of, amen, wickedness and an antichrist spirit. When you say, come on now, mama. I know you got angels in your house. I know they got fluffy wings and all that. But have you ever seen them come out of that halo and angel wings? Come on now. I'm not talking about children in over in Italy and China. I'm talking about some that's here. Son Blake come unglued a few. I mean, there wasn't no doubt he was a heathen. Hey, wasn't no doubt Blake needed to be saved. Amen, that's right. And some of you mamas, you've heard preacher. Of course, I say it in a little kidding voice. I come, I say, and I call the little baby's name. I say, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. Of a child, friend. Mamas and daddies, you better have your guard way up. You better be on high alert. You better be a watchman on the wall in your home, because the devil has already revealed to us that his targeted age is when they're a child. Who was it? Was it Hitler? Was it Hitler that said, give me the children for just a short period of time, and he said, I can rule the world. I don't remember how long that period of time was. It wasn't long. Give 6 months, was it? A year, whatever. He's got to give me your children. Let me have control. Let me indoctrinate. Let me teach your children. Let me discipline your children. Let me train your children, and they'll be loyal. I wonder if that's going on. I wonder if that's going on. You think that the devil's not able to use the digital world? We'd have revival if everybody handled the Word of God as much as they've handled their cell phone. And we've all got one. And I'm going to tell you what parents think about it. They think that their child, I'm talking about 3, 4, 5 years old, if they don't have a cell phone hanging out of their back pocket that's half as big as they are, then they are so deprived. I mean, they're just so deprived. Poor things suffering in a world, digital world, and they don't already have a big cell phone. And there's something about that is mesmerizing. It will hook you. Amen. It's getting quiet in here, but it ain't me getting quiet. Amen. Games. A lot of people's blowing their spiritual life. Blowing their spiritual potential. Just trying to get to another level. Just trying to play something and beat the last one and get a little further than you did the last time. And you get... Amen. I mean, I was raised up, I mean, got Mario and Pac-Man. What was some of them, what was some of them first games that come out? What? That's way back. I don't know what that is. anyway, I was trying to think of that first game system Yeah, that's it. And you know what? You'd get on there, and it was so innocent. I mean, it was either Pac-Man trying to eat everything before it got eat, or whatever. But you almost had it next time. Oh, hit the start button, hit the restart button, go back through it again. I know what that's going to do now. I know how to make a turn left instead of a turn right. And then you get eaten by another one you wasn't expected. And next thing you know, you're in the flesh again. And you think, you know what, I'm gonna whip this. This is the last thing I do. Next thing you know, hours and hours has went by. God help us. Amen. I wish I could tell you I've mastered that, but I'm telling you, ain't no telling how much more of this would be in my life. Not just in my hand, but in my life if I spent more time in it and spent more time praying. Let me ask you something. Just take prayerlessness. Just take prayerlessness, and we're all guilty of it to one level or another. Just take prayerlessness. Ask yourself, is that prayerlessness coming from the Spirit of Christ? Or is that prayerlessness coming from an opponent of Christ? I think you get the point. I think you get the picture. That the Spirit of Antichrist is not just floating around out through yonder. I believe the Spirit of Antichrist, it's evident, is targeting unbelievers. Listen, you young people in here that's lost, you kids in here that's still not saved, look up here. Listen to me. You know why you're still not saved? It's not because of God. It's not because of the Holy Spirit. You're not saved because the Spirit of Antichrist fuels your mind with unbelief and with doubt and with procrastination. I'll do it later. I'll wait till another time. I've got things to do and plans to fulfill and people to meet, and I've got goals in mind. And before you know it, you went from 7, 8, 9 years old to 25 and 37 and 44, and you're still not saved. Who's behind that? What's behind that, friend? It's the Spirit of Antichrist not wanting you to be saved. Listen, you know where the eternal, Brother Rob, the eternal place of judgment is going to be? Is hell, right? Hell and the lake of fire. That's the most Antichrist place that there is. I'm right now done. Any of you young people, any of you adults, and I don't know, I really don't know who is saved and who ain't. Only one I know for a fact saves me, and that's not being a judge of you. That's just saying, I know, I was there when I got saved. But just think about it. The same Antichrist and Antichrist spirits, demons of hell that are bent to fight against God. The devil is the chief leader. Listen, you know what the Bible calls the devil? The Bible calls him in 2 Thessalonians 2, the man of sin. Verse number 8 of chapter 2, he is called the wicked. Capital WICKED. That's a name. You don't capitalize just to any word. No, listen, he is called the wicked. He is bent to fight against God ever since God cast him out. Amen, as Lucifer and the son of the morning. Amen, and the chief cherub. God cast him out because I'm going to tell you how brazen and bolden he is. Even in heaven, he thought, I can take over the throne. And I want to tell you how deceptive he is. The devil is so deceptive that he talked angels. Was it one fourth of the numbers of the multiplied millions of angels? He talked one fourth of them in believing his message against God. You kids in here, you lost people, anybody listening lost, watching lost, never been saved? If the devil can talk a created angel that has never been anywhere but heaven, if he can talk them in to following his rebellion, amen, amen. That's the chief nature of the devil. He is rebellious. He's the author of rebellion. He is the spirit that he is the prince and power of the air. Ephesians 2. He's the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And he's trying to keep you lost. He's trying to whisper in your ear, oh, you, God won't save you. I've had them to tell me that. I said, well, I don't know who told you that, but God didn't tell you that. And I choose God's word over your imaginary voice. Amen. It don't take long. Talking to people, I can identify error and stupidity. Amen. God's not the author of death. God will never tell you to kill yourself. Never, ever, never, ever. Devil's author of sin and death. That's right. And let me just throw this out. I've never said it before. But if God hasn't used your life, he won't use your death either. Yep. But if you die lost without Jesus Christ, you are going to go. And we call it this. You're going to go to a devil's hell. Not one saved person there. Not one. Not one. Everyone in hell. Listen, and there's so many that's went there, and no telling how many thousands has went even while I've been preaching this morning. The Bible said, is it in the book of Isaiah that the Bible said that hell hath enlarged herself? See, there was a time in Luke 16 that hell was on one side in the center of the earth, and then there was a great gulf, and then there was the paradise side on the other side. But when Jesus died and descended into the heart of the earth, and then he led captivity captive. He went to the paradise side. Thank God, blew the whistle, rung the bell. I don't know what he did. But thank God, every one of them come out. Amen. Amen. They came out with him. And he moved paradise from the heart. Well, it was in Eden to start with. The Garden of Eden to start with. And then it was moved to the heart of the earth. And then when Jesus, died and was buried, rose again, and descended to the heart of the earth, and he took to his girdle, thank God, the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I could see the devil acting like he's the big dog and the big cheese down there. But when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords showed up, thank God he walked in and said, give me the keys, buddy. Hey, the devil, he'll growl and bark in your life like he's got something to offer. I'll tell you what a loser he is. He don't even have the keys to his own business. Amen. And you're going to let him talk you in to living your life, taking a chance. Maybe one day, hopefully somehow or another, I'll wind up getting saved and fooling around with it and playing games with it. Watch out now. The whole time that you're playing games, the spirit of Antichrist is hardening your heart and, amen, filling your heart with unbelief and doubt. He's trying to drag you into his Antichrist eternity. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you to help us.
Lord, thank you for giving us liberty this morning. Thank you, God, helping us, Lord. I pray you speak to hearts and work in our hearts. Lord, there's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind the spirit of Antichrist is largely at work in churches today. When a person quits and walks away, Lord, that wasn't the Holy Spirit that did that. That was the success of an Antichrist opposing, contrasting spirit, an opponent of Christ. When a person that gets saved and they never really grow, they just kind of stay stunted in their growth, and they're not really far ahead now than they were when they got saved. And there's been, in some cases, maybe even many years in between the starting point and the present point, and they seemingly haven't grown much. I believe with all of my heart that the Spirit of God did not have nothing to do with that. When we get discouraged, that's not a fruit of the Spirit. When we get down and defeated and depressed, Lord, that's not the evidence of the Spirit of Christ. Lord, I believe this morning that we need to purpose in our heart that by the grace of God, we're going to let Jesus and the Spirit of Christ rule and reign in our hearts. And we're not going to let the spirit of Antichrist, other spirits, influence our thinking, our acting, our talking. With that young boy that we read about this morning, Lord, not once did that father see that demon or demons. Not once did the young boy actually give testimony that he saw. And we can't see spirits now. We cannot. But we can see the effects of it. We can tell, Lord, that, Lord, it cannot be your will that churches today be dead and dry and declining and emptying out. And it's not your will, Lord, that people that names the name of Christ become so in love with this world that they fall out of love for the church and the Bible and prayer and the Word of God. Lord, I believe that you're trying to teach us something. I believe you're trying to help us, Lord, to identify and to reject. And just ask ourselves, would the Spirit of God be telling me that? Would the Spirit of God be putting those feelings in me? Would the Spirit of God be putting those words in my mouth? Would the Spirit of God direct me to listen to that worldly music? Would the Spirit of God be behind me dressing immodestly? And the list could go on. And if it's not of the Holy Spirit, then it must be the opposing spirit, the contrasting spirit. If we're going to live the Christ life in Antichrist days, we're going to have to find out and learn and get settled and get some convictions about what is Antichrist spirits that we're listening to, that we're being influenced by. And this world, everything about this world, this system, this world system, everything about it is governed by the small case G-O-D, God of this world. And I pray you'd help us, help our young people to have a rejection against worldliness, becoming worldly minded, worldly acting, worldly talking, worldly looking. Help us, God, to make our stand with Christ and be controlled by the Spirit of Christ.